Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of FandomXS. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, same show as last week, Fear, Moon Knight, Picard. And, yeah, that's it. And I'll let my co-host in so I'm not talking to myself.
Hello.
Good evening.
I'm your ever faithful co-host, Karen. How are you?
Good.
Happy Tuesday. Haven't heard from Jamie this afternoon, but she should be along, right? She'll be here in a minute.
I would assume so.
We have no reason to believe she's not coming. For the short show, short podcast, and getting shorter, huh?
Yeah. Next week is the finale of Picard, but that's on Wednesday.
Tomorrow should be the finale.
Tomorrow's the finale of Picard, but then the following week is the start of Strange New Worlds.
Right.
So
they're not both on the same night. They're not both this week.
We lose Picard. I don't know what today is.
I don't know what it is.
Picard,
we lose one Star Trek, but gain another.
Yeah, Picard is tomorrow. Strange New World is Thursday. So we actually have both shows next week.
Ooh, how exciting!
So we're actually gonna add a show, and then lose Picard the following week.
Okay.
And tomorrow's the finale of Moon Knight also.
Right. So we'll be down to only two shows for a little while, I think. But, you know, summer's coming, so it gets to be the slow season, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you're running away.
And then you're running away and never coming back.
Yeah, then I'm running away on vacation for a few weeks. And there is some new stuff coming out that I think some of us are watching, even if we're not covering it. Like, we don't cover the Wilds on this show, right? But that's coming.
We probably could, because season one we all kind of watched separately, but since we're all watching it now, we probably could cover it.
And Jamie asked me to cover a press tour on Friday for this new show called Tom Swift, which is a spinoff. It's on the CW, and it's a spinoff from Nancy Drew, but it's a... sci-fi show. Tom Swift is a billionaire. He's a young genius billionaire. But it's,
hello.
It's sci-fi.
Hi.
Hello, Jamie.
How are you, Jamie?
I was good.
I was just telling AJ a little bit about that new show, Tom Swift, but that I don't really, I know it has sci-fi elements to it, but I'm not really sure I understand what they are right now.
Did you get to watch it?
No, I didn't watch it yet. I don't have a screener yet for it. I got to email those guys.
Okay. Yeah, I got to try again. I haven't heard that.
But it's about a young
elements billionaire. Exactly, but it's a spinoff, I guess, from Nancy Drew, I guess, apparently.
It is.
I didn't know.
Except it's a spinoff from Nancy Drew, except it's sci-fi in some way. And I'm assuming what the sci-fi element is whatever this billionaire guy is inventing in his lab or whatever is science fiction-y. I'll know more about it after I watch it, but it's supposed to be sci-fi. Nancy Drew, I assume, is not a sci-fi show, right? Yeah, but it is. So we'll know more about that, but... It's on CW, and it's like CW is like becoming like the diversity network. Like all their shows are so, their casts and their shows are so diverse, Kung Fu is like an all Chinese American cast, right? Chinese or Chinese American, and Tom Swift is he's black. There's a bunch of like black characters on the show. And he's gay, but he's a billionaire. So I was just thinking today how, like, CW has, like,
a lot
of, like, diverse casts on their shows.
Yeah, which is good.
And
I mean, we always make fun of CW for being all pretty people, but at least they're diverse pretty people.
Oh,
right?
I'm sure they're all very attractive.
They're diverse pretty people.
That's what I said. They're diverse pretty people, at least.
They're very diverse
pretty
people.
Yeah, no, I know. I've had so much stuff. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I did want to check it out. But, yeah, I set up to do it, and then I'm like, I realized my tickets were for Friday, and I'm like, oh, crap, that's not going to work. So,
you're going to Doctor Strange on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Me
yeah.
too.
I had already bought the ticket. So.
Are you? Oh, I should go.
I was going to go Thursday, but the only 3D one they had was like a little dinky theater, and it's like I'm bad enough. I'm going probably when there's a full theater, but in a small room's even worse.
They're
so.
They're still doing 3D. I thought that was a flash in the pan, and they were done with it.
No. I like the 3D. And the first Doctor Strange movie was so great in 3D. I think it added to
it.
It was. So I wanted to see it.
No, I agree. I just didn't even know that was still a thing.
No, I know. Yeah. But,
yeah, I'm not a 3D fan myself.
I am.
But
depends what it's for.
I'll have to put it on my schedule to go see it.
But yes, I don't want to wait. They're already, you'll be spoiled if you're not careful already. So these people have seen
really?
It, so.
See, I don't know if
well,
I can be
apparently...
spoiled because the go ahead, AJ.
I'm sorry. Oh, no, I was just clearing my throat. Sorry.
Wow. I was going to say, I don't know if I can be spoiled because I already find the multiverse almost incomprehensible. And so I'm not sure I can be spoiled on something I'm not going to understand.
Yeah,
well, it's actually funny because
don't try. There's a lot of
people. Well, the advanced screenings. People were already trying to spoil it from the advanced screenings, and the official it's official Twitter page for Multiverse of Madness. Disney shut it down because people were trying to post spoilers to the official page. So they're like, we're just shutting the whole page. They're like, we're shutting the page down. We're not gonna let you people idiots do this shit. So.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, yeah. People are just like,
I'm not, like,
and now they're ruined for you.
But for the most part, I'd like to enjoy it on my own. But I'm not like, upset if I find something that I'm not going to go look for. All right. Well, that we'll talk about that, of course, next week then if we've all seen it, or maybe we'll decide to wait a week. I don't know. But I did want to, before we went too far, I did want to talk at least a tiny bit about The Wild. Did you see it yet at all, Karen, or no?
No. Daisy and I were just saying we haven't watched any of it yet.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we would cover it. Maybe we would cover it on the show
when
we can watch it.
I was going to say it doesn't premiere.
It hasn't dropped yet, right?
No, it premieres Friday. Yeah, it comes out Friday. This Friday. Yeah, but we're allowed to talk about it now, obviously, because I already posted my review if anybody wants to see it. I have mixed feelings about it. This is what I'm going to say. I still really like it, and I think it's a really good show, and I think the acting and the writing's good, and it's really, like, this one especially, I think, is emotional. But one of the things I really liked about the first season, and you guys know how I am, is I liked, like, the crazy mystery element, trying to figure things out. And this season doesn't have quite as much of that, which I think to me is kind of a negative, but it doesn't make the show not good. It's just that's what I'm generally after. The other main concern is that they had 10 episodes last season. They've cut it down to 8, and plus they've introduced all these new characters. So there is kind of a lot of characters for the amount of time they have. And I understand why they added the boys. I like that they did because it adds a unique perspective, but I don't like it in the sense that it cuts down on some of the girls' time that I would have liked to have had more with. But overall, I think it was pretty good, and I don't really want to spoil anything, but people can read my review, too, a little bit more. But those are kind of my main thoughts. More episodes would have been better, of course, and I do hope there's a season 3. But
we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, the whole
thing
dropped right at once, so we'll have to think about.
Yeah,
is the whole thing dropped at once? See, I can never. Prime doesn't make sense. Sometimes it drops. Some shows they drop it all at once. Other shows they do weekly. I don't understand where their decision is.
I don't either, but I asked because somebody was asking me, so I actually asked the publicist. So.
I know. They dropped the Wild all at once, and then, like, Outer Range, which is increasingly terrible every week, is stretched out week by week. And that show, to me, is worse and worse every week. I care less and less about the people on that show every week. I don't really know why I'm still watching it, frankly.
Well, I haven't seen the end of it yet, so I can't comment on that.
Well, I haven't either. They're not at the end yet.
No. The other show, that's true, it's not out yet. The other show that came out was Undone, season two, because I covered that as well. I wasn't sure if I'd like that or not. I really do. It's like sci-fi. It's definitely sci-fi, but it's like you don't know for sure. It could be one thing or the other. It's kind of one of those ones like you got to decide, you know, make a decision of how you feel. But I think it's pretty cool, and I like the rotoscoping aspect. I thought that was pretty neat. So, but
yeah, it keeps coming up in my queue, and I just haven't, like, I don't know.
Haven't had it.
No,
it's fair enough. But anyway, it's good. And Shining Girls came out, which I also covered. I think, I don't know, I think you'd probably both like it, but I think, Karen, I think you'd like it. It's like a thriller. I think I mentioned it before to you guys, but it wasn't out when I mentioned it. So that's Apple.
Yeah. This week I decided to give The Mare in the High Castle another shot. I have watched, like, you know, most of, I think I've watched season one or most of season one, and then I never got around to watching the rest of it, and so I've just started watching The Man in the High Castle again. That's another one that, like, really, I mean, it's really good, but, like, that's another one where I'm like, wait, is there, like, this is Philip K. Dick. Is there going to be, some sort of futuristic element here, right? Because, you know, I don't know if you guys have watched The Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
I have not.
It's set in 1962, and it's an alternate history of the United States where Japan and Germany won the war, and the U.S. is divided between, like, the East is Nazi and the West is Japanese. And I'm waiting for some Philip K. Dickness to get into it. But it's pretty good. So anyway, that's where we all are with our non-podcast shows. Should we jump in?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
All right.
You must not have hated Fear very much this week. You guys weren't complaining about it.
Oh, it's less. It was less hate. I mean, it wasn't good, but it was less horrible for sure.
Wait, I just wanted to mention one thing. Sorry, I forgot.
Oh,
I meant to mention it, and then I started talking to you guys, and I forgot. I can't even look at it because I'm talking to you guys because I didn't unmute it, so I haven't seen it. But I'm putting up the Wilds interviews, and I put up one with two of the guys, Zach and Aiden, and they were talking about how when I had asked them about finding out, like, what's going on and how early they knew and kind of theories and stuff, and they were talking about freaking out when they found out things, and if people follow my feed, he tweeted me the video, I guess. So if people look, they can see Zach tweeted it. I haven't gotten to actually listen to it yet, but
video
tweeted, I guess, the video of them in the woods finding out, I guess, when they found out the last episode or something. I don't know exactly because I haven't listened to it, but he tweeted it because he had mentioned it in the video. So anyway, that's on my feed if people want to check it out. All right. Well, let's, I guess, talk about Fear then. Now, I talked to Alicia. And that is up. I mean, I talked to the cast too, but I talked to her about directing it. Unfortunately, because they didn't.
Wait, Alicia Debnam
Carey.
Oh, right, Alicia.
Yes.
Alicia Debnam Carey.
Who also played
directed
Alicia,
this episode.
Yes. Yeah,
she directed this episode.
Yeah, because I couldn't get permission ahead of time. We can't play into the audio, but the interview's up. And it was, I think it was a really good interview because we talked all about directing. I asked her about directing the scene in the cage, which I thought was kind of an interesting thing to have to direct. And I also asked her about the Spanish aspect, like you had asked me. I asked her that. So no, she doesn't speak Spanish would be the answer to that. But I don't know. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if AJ even listens when we talk about the show, but like I'd say 50% of this episode is in Spanish easily, right? At least 50% of the episode is Daniel and Luciana talking in Spanish, and then some other people speak a little Spanish also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she and yeah, so you asked about that. So to direct.
Yeah, so that makes it more difficult, but you can, everybody can read it. But yeah.
Okay.
I would definitely think that would make it harder. I mean, I directed a one-act play in college, and it was hard. It was only a freaking one act. I couldn't imagine doing it if I had to figure out what half the script said.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Of course.
But
you
I don't know.
Been,
I mean,
you haven't been directed in 100 episodes of television like she has.
That's true, too. That is very true, too. I guess she shadowed the, what's his name, the guy with the weird name that I can never say, Stratted, whatever, I forget. I'm not trying, I don't want to butcher his name, so I just won't say it. Michael Stratovarius, I want to say Stratovarius, that's a violin, that's not his name. But anyway, she had, I guess, shadowed him, too. But anyway, I don't know, I mean, I didn't dislike this episode as much. I thought it was an okay episode. I mean, I would have maybe liked more characters because it was just a couple, but I think it was good, and I like seeing the stuff with Daniel. I thought like it was really sad though too, just kind of what they're doing to him, and even what Luciana does to him is like pretty horrible. Like I get why, but I don't know. It's still pretty horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you and I texted a little bit about this. It is pretty horrible. Like, Luciana spends the whole episode, like, and not to, like, Luciana is criminally underused in this show, and as has Daniel been for the last several seasons also. But they have for a little while now, you know, played that, you know, as Daniel's dementia gets worse, that Luciana is the person who, like, is taking care of him. She's really, like, become close to him and looking after him. And, like, that part was pretty well done in this episode. But then in the end for her to turn around and be like, okay, you know, to turn around and lie to him. And after she spent a whole episode being like, oh, no, Ophelia's dead, Ophelia's dead, remember Ophelia's dead. And then she's like, oh, yeah, Ophelia's alive, and Strand has her. And I think it's a little – here's where the weak writing in the show is, that, like, seriously, like, I kind of liked the part where they're like, Daniel knows Strand better than Strand knows himself, and Daniel really knows how to get inside Strand's mind. And, like, I liked that part, but then it's really weak to be like, okay, the only person who can figure out how to beat Strand is Daniel, but he has dementia, so let's lie to – like, I thought that was weak, that they're pinning their entire plan, like,
this
is worse than any Morgan or Rick plan could ever be, that they're going to, like, pin their hopes on Daniel, who's never been in the tower.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends what the dementia is. Here's my problem with it. I understand you have something to focus on, but if somebody has dementia, having that to focus on could not make his dementia disappear in real life, period. I mean, just because he had his daughter to look forward to, like, that doesn't make it go away. So I have a problem with that. I almost kind of wondered, just because the writing isn't that deep, but I almost kind of wondered if maybe part of it was more psychosis and that he is more losing it, you know, more so than like dementia or Alzheimer's or something. But I think it's supposed to be like an Alzheimer's type dementia. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about it. My elderly people in my family, my uncle did have some dementia, but not, you know, they're all different. I think there are some types of, I mean, he doesn't have hallucinations, Daniel, but he thinks she's alive. And I guess they're saying, he was saying, when she's alive, I'm more focused. Like when he was trying to save Ophelia, he was able to focus and like have a plan,
he
right?
The goal. Yeah.
So they're going to be like, Ophelia's in the tower. I mean, it's kind of a bad plan, right? It's right up there with, like, let's follow the zombie governor and see if he takes us to Padre, right? Like, it's almost as bad a plan that they're going to be like,
but we won't go back into that.
Daniel's not, so Daniel knows Strand, he knows how he thinks, right? And he has been able to outthink Strand in the past, but that doesn't make Daniel a field general or a guy who, like, plans, like, can plan an assault on the tower kind of thing or whatever. Like,
right. And
I
would say Morgan has gotten in his head before, too. Maybe not to the extent of Daniel, but that whole episode whenever he had a chance to kill Strand and he didn't and he tried to at the beginning and that. Like, I think they could probably maybe do it without Daniel, but I like at least that they're using him, you know, because like you said, he is very underutilized. And I kind of like the idea, but it doesn't 100% make sense, I guess, is the problem. And obviously, it's probably not going to go well, I'm guessing, and I have no idea because I haven't seen any further. But, yeah, hinging your whole plan on somebody who has dementia is probably not the smartest decision. And he's obviously very dangerous. I mean, he almost gets him killed. He tortures, although not that we really cared that Arno died because Arno was annoying, but, I mean, he was a bad guy. You're supposed to want him dead. But, you know, that other kid he killed, he didn't have to. I don't quite, and this is why, too, I had asked them about, because I talked to the three of them, that's up there, too. I had asked them sort of about their motivations because it confuses me even more at the end that Wes, after he, like, just because he disagrees with what Luciana is doing, that he's like, well, I'm going to go and switch sides then. That kind of confuses me anymore. And his response was, which I kind of understand, is that at least Strand, he knows what he's going to do, and he's like a straight shooter, but he's still like evil. So, I mean, not evil, but, you know, we talk about levels of evil. I still don't know that I quite understand Wes flip-flopping sides because of it, but I don't know.
Well, I especially don't.
Maybe there's a plan.
I especially don't understand Wes doing that. After Wes, like, I mean, he gives Lucy like a little lecture, and he says, like, people suck, like, you know, he really doesn't want to be, he can't follow her if she's going to treat Daniel like that, because it's against his moral, like, he feels it's morally wrong, right?
So instead he's going to go with Strand, who's even more morally wrong, like, that
and I mean, not just go with Strand, but he's not like, just can I come in? He basically is going to cut a deal. Like, it sounds like he's going to betray his group, right? Like, that part seemed out of character for a guy who.
Again, sometimes I think we hope the script is deeper than it is, but it would be nice if it was all like a plan. I don't think it is, but it would be nice if it was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he killed his brother to save Alicia. Like, he put his friends before his own brother. I don't know. It seems a little strange.
Okay, but his brother was a like kind of a part of a doomsday cult that wanted to blow up the world, right?
Right, right. But I'm just saying, he obviously trusts these people, has given them his trust. It just seems strange to me that he would just all of a sudden do that. But
yeah.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah,
I'm so curious when Madison comes in, and it's my understanding it's in the seventh season. But you're right, what we discussed before, it's probably going to be the finale. But you know, eventually coming.
I mean, the other parts of the episode, like Arno. I mean, Arno has been so annoying for so long, and I was glad when he died. But Arno did
really
get
better. Well, he got his hand bit off, apparently. He didn't die, so.
No, Arno's totally dead. He got totally eaten by zombies.
No, he is now. I mean, and we thought he died when Alicia, we had discussed that.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
We thought he died with the,
yeah.
And he obviously got
yeah.
bit, didn't die.
But
he's definitely,
you know,
dead now.
He is, but, I mean, he's been such an annoying character because he's like, I'm mad at Alicia for whatever reason, right? And I get being mad at Alicia, but he's mad at Alicia for making him follow a zombie around. The government but he followed her. Like, nobody held a gun to your head and made you follow Alicia's
right.
zombie around, and also you're part of a doomsday cult, right?
That's what I mean. He was already part of a cult.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you think that them trusting these people, I mean, I guess they were the ones Alicia trusted before, but I don't know. Do you think it's a
no.
good idea?
No. It's the dumbest idea ever. Now, I did feel like Arno got a little bit better in this episode right before they killed him. Like, Arno did make some sense. Okay, like, having the whole cage and lowering Wes down is a bad thing to do, but he did make sense as a guy who's just, like, he's stuck being the leader. Like, Arno probably never, like, Teddy was the leader, and then Teddy's big plan was to make Alicia the leader, and Arno, like, he sort of fell upwards to be the leader, right? And
yeah.
I mean, he did. He's just trying to keep his people alive. He did start to make some sense. So of course, then it was time for him to be killed, right?
Yeah.
But no, I think it's a terrible idea to trust them. And that was maybe the dumbest part of the episode, where Luciana's like, "Okay, so we just killed Arno, your leader, and we killed this other guy for basically no reason. And, oh, by the way, we tried to kill you all like a long time ago when you were in the cult. But why don't you come and join us and follow us? And they're all like, okay, sure.
Maybe they're easy to sway.
No, then yeah. this one like red shirt lady goes. She goes, She goes, it's what Teddy would have wanted. What?
That part what had a problem with. Like, okay, Teddy was against all of them. Why would he want that?
Teddy would have wanted you to join Morgan? What?
No, I don't think so.
Why they're all like, okay, like, and it's only Luciana and Daniel and Wes. Like, they're like, okay, if they walked in and killed Rick, like, Oliver's people would have massacred them, right? Or if they walked into the Saviors, like, and tried to kill Negan, or if they walked into Woodbury or anywhere, right? But Luciana comes in like, okay, we just killed your boss. Why don't you come and live in our sub with us and we'll go take over this tower and everybody can be, like, I think it's a terrible idea to trust them. I don't think it's a terrible, I don't think anything will happen. I don't think the writing is good enough that this is going to pay off into anything. But it's dumb, right? Like what? They're all like, okay, yeah, we'll just go with you. You just killed our leader.
I mean, they're
leader.
All Strand's enemy, and there's kind of the enemy of my enemy, but she did kill their leader, or he killed their leader, rather. I guess if you could reason with the people, you could say, look, we didn't kill Arno. He did, and he's nuts. Like, it wasn't a... per se, like, an vindictive thing from Luciana being done. But I still don't know that people normally would just be like, oh, yeah, I'll follow you. You know, why not?
And then
this is a good idea.
And then they all show up at the sub, and Morgan's like, guess what? Dwight's like, we got all the guns. And Lucy's like, good, I got all Teddy's people. And they're like, okay, here's some guns, right? Like, nobody even says, like, what the hell, Luciana? You brought, like, Teddy's people are the reason why Grace's baby died, right? I mean, Riley is at least.
Why they're in the sub in the first place? Because before they had no food, and I mean, granted, I know they got the food because they found it in the floor of the sub. But there's an awful lot of people. I mean, there was already an awful lot of people eating that food, and now they got even more people eating that food. So I think
know.
They would have started. There's also that.
Why do people think there's food in the tower? Like, the tower maybe has a little garden on the roof, but it's not like the tower is surrounded by farmland, right? I mean, what?
This is true, yeah.
That's the dumbest part of the entire season, is that people are trying to take this tower away from Strand. And not just, if you live in a nuclear wasteland, just leave. Like, they could easily, apparently they all have gasoline and horses, which are unaffected by nuclear bombs, apparently. Just go, just ride away from Texas.
Yeah, they're only affected by the nukes when it matters, when they need it to be. I think one of the biggest problems I'm having right now, well, not one of the biggest problems, but one of the problems I'm having, just thinking about it, talking about it, and we say how, like, you know, Luciana and Daniel are underutilized, and I'm thinking about all the other people. This thing has such a freaking big cast. There are too many people. That's why, even though now they're not, like, necessarily filming separate on purpose, there's so many people they can't show everybody. Like, okay, they took Al off for now. But what about, I always want to call her Mo because that's her real name. That's not her name on the show.
The trucker.
Yeah.
The trucker.
Her name.
Wendell and Sarah.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Well, yeah, Sarah and Wendell. Yeah, we have Sarah and Wendell. We have Luciana. There's so many people. Like, we can never, I keep forgetting who everybody, not forgetting who they are, but forget about them because it's so long in between seeing them. Oh, and that reminds me, I meant to tell you something else. I'm wondering, and I'm, now don't anybody take my word for it because I have no idea. All I know is that she's on it. But I saw Alicia post, she's in some new show. I'm wondering if she's leaving.
Well,
I don't know.
I wonder why
she at least waits till Madison comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, because I saw she posted, I forget what it was, I'm looking it up, St. X. It could film opposite this. I mean, I have no idea, but generally when you see somebody like as the lead in a new show, it's kind of a little surprising when they're already the lead in another show, but
Well, she was on the 100 at the same time she was on this show.
Oh, was she? Okay, see, I didn't watch that.
They overlapped. For,
yeah.
Well, I mean, she kind of recurred. She wasn't like a lead. She only did like 20 episodes of 100. But she was yeah. I mean, she was a major character.
Well, she's not been on Fear that much lately either. I mean, maybe
I know, she could have made
why,
like 10 movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have to say about this episode, like, I liked Luciana and Daniel together. I forget the name of the actress who plays Luciana. What's her name?
I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Danae Garcia.
And Ruben Blades, like, they do good work as their characters, and they're great together. Like, I like those two characters together. I like the bond they formed. I kind of like the part where Daniel's like, "You're not part of our family. Like, Ophelia's he's my daughter, you're not." But then when he's more lucid,
yeah, that was
he's like,
kind of harsh.
Like, daughter. It was, but when he was, you know, when he was more lucid, he's like, "Oh, you're a daughter to me," and like, I liked all of that. I'm not opposed to the idea of exploring, like, as someone is aging in the apocalypse, and are they going to start to have dementia? And how do you protect that person, and how do they put you at risk? To me, is more interesting than
plus, like having
like,
a baby.
Like, what's you said?
I mean, it's not the same thing as having a baby, but you know what I mean. It poses risks.
Yeah.
Sometimes or not.
Yeah.
Always, but
I mean,
and yeah, he got to put them in danger.
Yeah. He's putting them in danger. And, you know, he has this skill set that's very dangerous. Like, what if he thinks he's back in the, you know, as a torturer in Nicaragua or El Salvador, you know, when he was part of, or El Salvador, wherever he's from. I was reading, you know, I like to read Eric Kane, and he mentioned in his review this week, like, they kind of, like, didn't do much with the fact. Remember that Luciana, she was, like, the badass of her town in Mexico. But they were like a weirdo religious group with this leader that said like he could cure zombies or whatever. Remember?
Because he said he got bit, but it wasn't by a zombie.
And came back or whatever, right? And like, he was like, "Oh, that remember that? They even explored that."
There's too many.
I forgot about that. I know. Well, even
because
there's not in an
cult of the lady that like didn't want to kill the zombies too. There was her. She was in a like sort of a cult where Daniel, you know, torched the place.
Well,
and
every leader
is
like a cult of personality. Like Negan certainly had a cult of personality around him. Strand, you know,
You know, I was going to say, I think Colby West, I think, was good in this too. He's also one that we never see that like disappears for a while. Like there's too many people. It's not that they're not good; it's just they don't use them.
I did feel for most of this episode that he was just along for the ride and he didn't really have much of a role in this episode until at the end it turns out that he's the betrayer because everybody just keeps everybody keeps betraying the group and going knocking on this door and being like, let me in into the tower. I also don't understand, like, how could the tower, like, it's Texas. Like, if where Strand lives is totally uncontaminated, just ride another 100 miles to the next tower and open your own house there, right? Like, it's freaking Texas. Like, why is this deal? It's like they live on the island of Oahu and only one building is standing or something, right? And they have no place. Like,
something like that. But yet they run into everybody, you know, the next day. So, I mean, it has issues. I'm not denying that. I mean, overall, I don't think this was a bad episode as far as Fear goes. I think it was one of the better episodes.
It was. And I think it was, you know, well-directed for having, you know, a new
director. Especially because she's never done it before.
I think she's never directed. I told you I liked that set where Arno's people lived and they had all those walkways set up. So they're living like almost like on stilts, right? And all the zombies are down below. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
well
shot.
She talked about how they had to dig a hole for his real legs. I thought that was interesting. I like hearing the kind of special effects stuff.
His real legs. What do you mean? Oh, for Arno's real legs?
They had to dig a hole for his real legs. Yeah, and then he had his blue legs, as she said. And then, like, had his, you know, bitten his legs on the top. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a cool set. And I could see that that would create a lot of issues. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't horrible. We haven't – and AJ's right. He didn't hear us complain a lot about this episode because it was a little better.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I have not seen further yet. I forgot I could watch it on AMC+. I haven't even tried. I haven't had time. God. I haven't even thought about it. I haven't had any time to watch it.
I've seen some comments online that it's not good, but we see those comments every week that it's not good. There are 5 more episodes this season. 5 more episodes left. So we've got 5 more weeks of this. and then and I'll be gone for the last 2 weeks, I guess. And then I don't know when regular Walking Dead comes back. Maybe not till the fall. Mm-hmm.
Can't remember if there's a date or not. I'd have to look it up. But yeah. And then of course the spinoff. We don't know what the hell happened with that. Considering Melissa McBride left and Angela Kang left. I'm kind of wondering if it's still going to happen. And that's,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know
if you saw that, AJ. The day after Melissa McBride quit, the showrunner, Angela Kang, I wouldn't say she quit, but she left that show to do whatever, to concentrate on other parts of the Walking Dead universe or something, I guess, right? But is that show
really
going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, out of all of them, I was looking forward to that one because I like the two of them. But it's like, without Melissa, it's kind of like, but now it's kind of like, I don't know. I like Daryl, don't get me wrong. I think Norman Reedus is awesome. But I don't know that I want to watch a show about just Daryl. I like their friendship. That was part of why I wanted to see it. So, I don't know.
Well, Angela Kang is the only competent executive in the whole franchise,
yeah, it had started to get better,
right?
She joined the, and she started
and for her
there,
to leave the show.
To get better, and it's like, this is not good. I don't know.
Yeah.
AJ?
I was going to ask you guys what, because we talked about, we talked about some of this last week, and then, on Wednesday was when they announced that Carol and Daryl was just now the Daryl show.
To England or Europe or wherever the show takes. I think
thing. Like my first question is why are they? I never knew. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to any of it. But when I found out, I was like, why are they doing it in England? Number one.
They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in Europe.
Somewhere in Europe. But regardless, how the hell does it get to Europe? First of all, okay. But what really pisses me off is, and I don't know if this is the fault of the journalist reporting it, or if AMC, I mean, we know they're a bunch of idiots, the first thing I heard was that it was, they decided to change the storyline and they let Melissa go. And then I find out, then a couple days later, it says, oh, that was an incorrect report. She doesn't want to relocate. And I was like, okay, that makes more sense than these idiots just went and said, oh, you know what? We've been doing this all along. let's completely change everything.
Yeah, that does make more sense.
So there's widespread speculation that it will be France. It'll be Daryl in Paris, Daryl in France. And the spec is that it's tied because tied to the finale at the end of World Beyond, and World Beyond showed that the outbreak probably started in France and that these French scientists were, studying it and maybe were close to a cure. And a lot of people feel like Daryl gets some information that Rick is in France as part of the whole, this is probably only a setup. The Daryl show is probably only a setup
in
the movies that I don't believe will ever happen. There's still not a script for
it. I was going to say, why would he go, though? He's not a scientist. But I'm more concerned with how the hell you get over to France in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. But
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
I know.
Remember,
I know.
I know. Remember the helicopter that took the helicopter that took Rick away?
Yeah.
They're going to come back for Daryl.
Can a helicopter go that far? I didn't know
No,
it cannot. No, it can't.
I didn't think so.
No.
I didn't think so. That's why I'm like,
no, it can't. But based on what we've seen of the CRM, that they have helicopters with unlimited fuel that can go everywhere, they have a jet? Could they have a boat? It's 2 weeks. If a cruise ship can make it in a week, right? Across the ocean.
Yeah, they
could
go by boat. It just wouldn't be easy to go by boat.
Or whatever, right?
What I think part of the thing is about these shows is because, we'll watch it and we'll say, well, these ones were good, and then it's like, this one isn't good. And I think part of the reason why, at least in my opinion, that I keep watching it is that it has really good acting. It just needs better writing.
Not always. Not always.
Well, not always, but most of the acting, most of the actors are pretty good on these shows. I mean, most of them, not all of them, but most of them. But the writing leaves something to be desired.
Well, the writing and the plotting and whatever. But anyway, yeah, that's the spec I've been reading, that Daryl goes to France. Like, Daryl goes to, like, Daryl, for some reason, like, Rick, that this is a giveaway that Rick's in Europe, that Rick, wherever he's gone with the CRM, and that they gave it away, you know, they gave away at the end of last year that people are still in, like, we don't really know when that coda, right, when that person walks in and shoots the scientist, we don't really see who it is. And we don't know what the timing of that, but if it's current or whatever, like, so that is a giveaway. And that, you know, like, I'm wondering, does that make this show just a lead into the movie? And losing Melissa McBride and Angela Kang makes me think, why am I, I'm not going to waste my, I like Reedus, but I'll watch his next movie and not maybe this show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, were you going to waste your time with the show in the first place?
Well, I mean, depending on what it was, like you could see, AJ, as a fan of the show in years past, a spinoff of Carol and Daryl being on the road could, like, they're the two OG characters that are left, and they're two characters that haven't been ruined that badly compared to some other characters, right? I guess, was I going to watch it? I don't know. Is there always a part of me that wishes it could get back? It's season two goodness, it's, you know, or season three of fear, like some, like, there was good, but no, because, like, all the people who were part of that are gone, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think they really, I
well,
mean,
I think we'll find out what happens as time moves on. I mean, who
I
knows?
They'll take
maybe,
a hit in viewership.
They obviously haven't filmed it yet, if they're just announcing that, so who knows? Maybe it won't even get filmed. We don't know. There's no way to know. I don't know.
Might not even happen. If you're Norman Reedus, I mean, maybe you're like, woo, this is my chance to lead a show, or you're like, wait, do I want to be in the show? but my contract, now I'm stuck, right? No Melissa, no Angela. Now what am I stuck with?
You know, to be fair though, they still do good. I mean, they still, I'm sure, make a lot of money on the show, and they still do have a lot of fans that are, like, religiously attached to this show. I mean, yes, it gets a lot of bad reviews a lot of times, but I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, a lot of people it too. So
this is why a lot of people
want
to leave and, like, go make movies or make another show, right? Or whatever, like capitalize on your prime of your fame. I don't know.
That's
anyway.
Yeah. I don't.
That was part of, like, kind of big seismic news out of The Walking Dead this week.
Yeah, it was. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it, though. Unless you have more to add, we might move on to Moon Knight.
No, let's move along from it.
All right.
Moon Knight.
That was really. I liked it. Karen probably didn't, because you don't like stuff like that usually, do you? It's in his head.
You
probably didn't like it.
But it wasn't fake in his head.
Yeah, it's not exactly in his head, but I figured Karen might not have liked it. I just didn't know if she would.
I kind of liked it. I liked it, but maybe I liked it better than I liked, because after last week, where it appeared to really be, like, all hallucination or whatever, like, this week it started to, like, make sense and be, like, partially in the underworld or the afterlife or whatever.
And my question is, though, is that even still true? We don't really know for sure yet that's what it is. I still wonder that it might not be what it is, but it was very weird. But it was still good, and I think that it was very, I found it very sad, and, like, he was, I tend to forget, like kind of like we did with Orphan Black, you tend to forget that it's the same actor. I think he's really good. I mean, I think he did really good in that episode, and I think it was pretty powerful, but it was a little weird.
Well, I liked it
AJ.
Quite a bit, because it, I like when shows find creative ways to do flashbacks. So while, yes, we were in his head, it wasn't like some of the stuff that we hate, like dream sequences or imaginations where the entire episode doesn't matter because none of it was real. This, while technically not being real, is a creative way to show us his backstory. And, you know, we got to see his origin and the trauma that split his personality. You know, we got a bunch of stuff in one episode without focusing the entire episode on just one thing. So I thought that was pretty great. And one thing that was a highlight for me, because I made Artie laugh hysterically, because I'm sure you guys heard prior to this, there was lots of internet hoopla over because Moon Knight's, Mark is, his character is Jewish in the comics, and there was lots of hoopla all over the internet. Oh, why'd they give Oscar Isaacs the role? He's not Jewish. You know, are they even going to make the character Jewish now? It's like, I'm so tired of this stuff like this. But in that scene when his mother dies and he's standing across the street from his house, when he starts to walk away, and he falls down, I said to Artie, I said, look, he has a yarmulke on. The internet can now shut the hell up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I the one thing I didn't like, I feel like they made Tourette too cartoony. I felt like she was.
I swear I knew her voice.
She was like more comic relief. You know, I mean, I've never met her in person. You know, all the Egyptian gods died a long time ago, so you know, I don't know how she was, but I felt like they made her a little too cartoony.
Comical. Because what I was confused by is, if she's the goddess of fertility, why is she in the underworld? Why is she? I don't understand that.
I kind of wondered that myself. I kind of said the same thing. I was like, why isn't this Anubis doing this? You know? But first we have our lost connection of Tourette, and then tell me neither one of you, when they first realized they were in the underworld and they were on the ship, tell me neither one of you immediately, I immediately was like, look, it's the Black Rock. Black Rock took out the statue of Tourette.
Actually, it reminded me very much of, what's the show called, Sand and Bone? That show we watched last year.
Oh, that ship, yeah.
Where they're on that ship.
Oh,
you know what I mean.
It's not called the Burn, but they're going through like basically a giant sandstorm on that ship, right? That's being attacked. That's what it reminded me of. But yeah, I thought Tourette was a little cartoony, particularly compared to the other gods we've seen. We've seen other gods appear in their animal form, like I can't pronounce any of their names now, but the one that is always with Mark, who's like kind of like a dog headed thing, and they've all been much scarier, and this was a very cartoony version.
Yeah.
In terms of why she's in the underworld or in the afterlife, she does make a remark when they're like, Tower, you have to stop, you have to get us out, we have to go back and save Layla or whatever, right? Or save ourselves, and she says, okay, the closest gate is Osiris's gate. He's not going to be happy, but we're going to have to use his gate. And I don't know anything about Egyptian mythology, but I do know a little, but I don't know anything about this. And it made me think, oh, maybe each god has their own gate to the afterlife, and so they came in through Tauris. They're trying to get out through Osiris's. Like I don't know, but I got the impression that there are multiple.
I don't think that's accurate. Does that make sense with the show? I guess it could, but
you're right. I don't think it's accurate. It made sense of what I. That's how my brain interpreted what I saw on the screen.
Yeah, no, that what you're saying.
That works for me, though.
Yeah, it works for me too. I'll go with it. The thing that I think surprised me, and I guess it's just because of what I expected, and I like when shows subvert what I'm expecting. I definitely suspected that the scale would balance after they started working together. I find it very interesting that
it
balanced
so
after Steven was gone. That was kind of cool. And also, they did finally say that Steven was the true, obviously they explained that he was, or not Steven, that Mark. Now I'm getting them mixed up. That the other one
Mark
was
is the
true identity.
Mark is the Mark is the prime personality. Well, Mark was the original personality.
They did tell that. Well, at least I guess we knew it anyway because of you, but they outright said it, and now Steven knows it too.
One thing I liked about it, and like, yes, you can expect me to hate this kind of an episode where so much of it takes place in what might or might not be a hallucination or probably is a hallucination. I mean, because Mark and Steven are together, you know that's not the real world, right? Like, you know that's taking place inside their mind.
Well, yeah.
Because they can't be together because they're not both people. They're in one body. But I did like, you know, what Jamie, you have been calling the loudest week after week. Can we see them start to work together? Can we see them start to resolve? And so I kind of felt like near the end of the episode when Steven's like, Mark, you can do it, you can do it. And he says, wait, if I'm you, I can do it also, right? And then he saves Mark and then he gets thrown over the edge and he gets turned into sand, right? So I was like, oh, I don't know if that symbolizes like, does he not need Steven anymore? And is Steven's personality going to be gone now? Or have they, like, or is it going to be like Picard where the Borg Queen and Jurati, like, meshed into one personality by the end of this week, AJ, right?
I would say they would have got rid of the main personality, but if it's done, it's weird, hard to tell. Go ahead.
Is Steven the main personality, or is Steven just the entry point they chose for us in the beginning of the season because it made it a better show?
It's the entry point they chose for us.
Right. I would just be surprised if they got rid of him, I guess. That depends on whether
very,
we see the series again.
I was very surprised to see that happen to Steven. It kind of... I mean, it all depends on where they're going with the show. Because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but
there's some rumors.
The official site originally stated, you know, tomorrow is the series finale of Moon Knight. They have since changed it to the season finale of Moon Knight. But that's what I'm saying. It went from, you know, but that's the thing. Like, it's been, you know, the whole thing this whole time has been is, are we getting a season two? And they've said, you know, no, that this is going to, you know, this one isn't. I mean, the only one out of all the Marvel shows that's getting a second season is Loki.
Okay, yeah.
And we never expected second season from those other ones. This one is a little different because it's a character that doesn't have, you know, movies and whatnot and everything. So I don't know where they're going to go with it or how it's going to pan out. But
well, there's been speculation that there may be a post-credit scene, but I guess we won't know until it's on.
Well, I would absolutely assume this. I mean, all the other ones have had a post-credit scene in the finale.
Granted, the Hawkeye
post-credit scene didn't really have anything to do with the story.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they're theorizing that the post-credit scene is going to tell us that it's coming back or where it's going or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I have a bunch of things to say about that. I'm going to set it aside for a second. Well, I mean, I want to go back and talk about the show a little bit more, but I'm going to set aside what I have to say because you guys might not like it. So with Steven, I mean, Steven can't really maybe be gone because, I don't know, but I think it's part of the character throughout the comics that he has multiple personalities, right? Like, for the show to just make Steven go away might be flying in the face of the comic. I don't know, AJ. So two things. One about the comic, AJ, I want to ask you about that. And two, I understand that the origin story of Steven deviates from the comic book in a major way, which I read about, and I wonder how you, AJ, feel about that. Although you said you haven't read a ton of Moon Knight, right? He just appears in other people's stories.
Yeah, but I do know his story, and they took the story. I mean, honestly, I kind of like the way they did it. I mean, it's not gonna change the character that really because of how they changed, you know. They changed the reason that he got the personality disorder. It doesn't really matter how he got it. I think in a way it's a little more dramatic this way with his brother's death and his mother turning into a raging alcoholic and abuser.
And
you know,
abuser.
It's funny, actually. It's actually funny, Karen. I thought about you this week when that happened.
Yes.
Because, you know, we talk about this a lot and everything, but you are always a very big proponent of this, and I understand why. But so Picard last week, we had, you know, we find out, was it last week or the week before, we find out, you know, we think that Picard's mother is this, you know, really great woman and everything. Then we find out she's, you know, nuts and that the father's actually not a bad guy. You know, this week, here we have another woman who Steven thinks is this wonderful, loving person. Turns out she beat the living crap out of Mark his entire
and
young life before
dead.
She passed.
And she's also
dead.
She's dead.
And in the comic book, it is Mark Fuller who dies, and it's his father's funeral that he runs away from in the comic book. Although he's not an abuser. I can't even understand the
story. No, he's not
abusive. There's a serial killer. There's a serial killer involved, and his father, who's disguised as a rabbi, and like all this stuff that I don't like. It apparently,
well, no, his father was a rabbi. His father was a rabbi, or is in the comics. In the comics, though, his parent. I mean, when he develops the DID, his parents send him away. Because, you know, originally his father's like, you know, he has the devil in him.
Wow.
So,
all right.
So they send him away to a psychiatric facility.
So they convert it, they convert it to like the mentally ill mother storyline, which we've had to endure now on two shows in the last 2 weeks, right? It's always like turned into like the bad mother. Not always, but, you know. The bad mother trope, the Sybil trope, abusive mother causes the ID. So my second question, that you can't get rid of Steven maybe, because in the comic book, like, Steven maybe is a, like, the DID is, like, part of Moon Knight's story. I kind of like the idea that, I mean, do I want Steven to go away? No, but, like, a big part of the story has been that Mark lost control of Steven. Like Mark was in control of the body for a really long time, and he has, for some reason, lost control of Steven in recent months, right? Steven's had more and more periods.
Said that it was because of her death was when he lost control again.
Whose death? His mother's death?
His mother.
His mother.
That's when he started spiraling out.
That's when he lost control of Steven.
Yeah.
And he had already been gone for a long time and committed some of these acts that he has as a mercenary. I mean, the Steven storyline is, I mean, look, we all knew that Steven, I mean, not only because AJ told us, but I think it was kind of obvious that Steven wasn't the primary. Like, Steven's like, oh, I talk to my mother every day. No, we've seen you leave a voicemail. Every single episode, you leave a voicemail for your mother. You never actually, he's never actually spoken to his mother, right?
Right.
I mean, there were things that I think gave it away that he wasn't the, I mean.
Yes, but Steven didn't know it.
Yeah. I mean, I have said, and we all said it last week. Steven, last week we were like, Steven's the worst, man. Steven's the worst. He's got to go. And he's been a total jerk lately with, like, I'll never give you control again, Mark, blah, blah, blah. But it was kind of sad. Like, they did a good job in this episode of making them kind of – and Mark actually seemed sad. Like, Mark actually was like, Steven, no, was trying to save Steven, right? And is that because he really came to like Steven, then they're a part of each other, or because he just can't get out of there by himself and needs a second person to help him? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ironically, he can get out by himself because it's ironic, though, because without Steven, the scales balanced.
Balanced.
Like, they almost balanced. They almost balanced after Steven learned the truth, and they can't, you know, they kind of came to grips with it together. It almost balanced. And then after Steven died, she's like, oh, look, they balanced. So it's an interesting thought because, I mean, I guess, in a way, they wouldn't balance because he's not whole. And, you know, and like Harrow said in the beginning, he's like, there's chaos in you. So then to have, you know, Steven at the moment be not part of him anymore, he's balanced because he doesn't have this inner, which probably is.
Yeah. Do you think, so this all started, Steven gets shot by Harrow and falls in the water
and killed
dies
by Harrow.
And he's having this, like, Harry Potter, King's Cross Station moment for the last two episodes. Or is he? Like, do you think any – so, I mean, I continue to think that the entire psych ward is a fantasy because it just doesn't look like
– yeah.
It's, like, way too Legion-esque, right? But, like, I mean, I know there are people online speculating, like, do you think any part of the psych ward is real? Like, that he has been – in the comic book, he has been hospitalized, right, before – and spent time.
Yes.
In the show, he hasn't, that we're aware of. But I continue to think that no part of the psych ward is real.
No, I
would
either.
Agree, but I still question and kind of wondered if it's, I told you guys before, I wondered if it wasn't something Harrow manufactured because he's trying to find out something and that it's all fake. But that seems
less likely now,
but it would still be interesting.
Yeah, that because if you think about it, we know he's in the underworld. And, you know, when either one of them get too stressed out because of whatever's happening in the other world, they kind of go, they invert themselves into their mind, which is the psych center, you know? So, I mean, it's like an escape from reality for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably, we just haven't seen it, but probably Mark has been hospitalized in the past. Like he's not making it out of whole. He's not making that fantasy or that safe zone or hallucination or out of whole cloth. Like he maybe has spent time in a place like this, but seeing Harrow with the doctor is obviously a coping mechanism or whatever, right? Like they're working it all out.
Yeah,
I think. What was it? So this show has left a lot to be resolved in one episode. It is supposed to be the series finale, which means, or maybe it's now a season finale, but it was intended probably to end the story next week, right?
Maybe, unless they intended to change it all along, but probably, yeah.
I mean, that would be a big lie to be telling all along, that, right? Like,
yeah,
and,
I
would
say
it is known that the lead actors, the principal actors, have one-year contracts, or it is said. It is not, do I know it? Have I seen them? No. It is said that they have one-year contracts. So it leaves a lot to be resolved in one episode next week, right? Like, we have to resolve, like, is Mark dead? Steven dead in real life? Is Steven dead in the underworld, in the afterlife? Can they get out of here? Last time we saw Layla, she was hot. Like Steven is shot, and Layla's basically hiding behind the wall. Like Harrow's definitely going to find her and shoot her next, right? Like, there's a ton to resolve in 1 hour. I'm not even sure where it can go.
Oh,
and
it's not even an hour. It's actually going to be the shortest.
It's not.
It's going to be the shortest.
Oh, it is?
It's the shortest finale of all the Marvel shows. It's going to be 53 minutes.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot to be resolved, and you know, this brings me back around to when Jamie was saying, well, there's speculation, or AJ, you were saying it's no longer a series finale. It's now a season finale, and like, could it come back next year? I think it's not, like, I don't care. I think it's not good enough. I think it's the weakest of all the Marvel
shows. I don't want
it
to. I agree with
that.
That
good.
And I don't want it to come back because with the ever-changing landscape of the MCU, how are you going to have this story that we have to wait a year to, you know, continue on? You know what I mean? Like, that's why none of these shows really can have a season two. I'm not even sure how Loki's season two is going to work. Unless the season two of Loki is going, you know, he's going to be in other stuff and then season two is going to pick up from wherever we saw him last in whatever movie he's in next, you know? Which begs the question, why even have a season two then? I don't feel that these Marvel shows are really set up that way to have seasons like that if they're all going to interact between each other. Now, granted, we don't know anything about where Moon Knight's going to show up next, if Moon Knight's going to show up somewhere else. But it just seems like, what's the point of having a season two? Like, are we going to just end the season and pick up where we left off? Or is it going to be the same type of thing with Loki, where you pick up wherever this character's at the moment and has another story of his own?
At least Loki, I mean, Loki was my favorite of all of the Marvel shows, although I did like Hawkeye a lot. Loki at least plays into the multiverse, you know, and I can actually understand it. Like, it's
right.
A pretty straightforward, sensible multiverse show that may turn out to be important viewing in terms of setting a set of rules for the multiverses, right, in a way more comprehensible way than Doctor Strange's blah, blah. Like, Doctor Strange goes on about him. Like, what did he just say? Whatever. Can you just zap some people now? Loki plays into the multiverse better. That, like, Moon Knight, yeah, no relation to the multiverse. And like, all the original Avengers, whatever, like, they're whatever, right? But this show was not, like, look, I think Oscar Isaac was particularly good in this episode with his two characters. And I would maybe watch an entire show that's just Ethan Hawke playing Harrow being, like, an evil con. I'd love to see Harrow go up against, like, Legion, right? Like, he's a, mm-hmm. like, he's a great character. And Ethan Hawke's work is really great. Although he's got the best character to work with on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might watch a whole show about him, but for me, like, I don't need it to come back. I'm not particularly dying to see what happens, that I'm watching it and we're going to talk about it. I'm not, like, going to bed at night thinking about, like spending a week mulling over what's happening on Moon Knight the way I am maybe with some other shows sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely the weakest one.
But we'll see. I mean, so if they can wrap it all up in 53 minutes, that'll be an impressive feat right there, right? We might be back next week talking about, like, oh, my God, can you believe they did that in less than an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, we've been surprised before. AJ and I have watched entire seasons that, like, we watched 15 episodes of The 100 and be like, every week, it sucks. It sucks. This week sucked. This week sucked. And then be like, oh, my God, the season finale was so good. They got us twice. 2 years in a row, they got us that way.
Yeah.
So you never know. But I'm not terribly invested in this.
No, I agree. I feel it's the weakest of all the shows.
Yeah. So, anyhow, do you guys have anything more on this one?
No,
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Unless Jamie has something else.
Nope.
No, but AJ, before we leave Marvel, two DC shows got canceled this week, right? Batwoman and Legends of Tomorrow both got canceled. Do you already watch either one of those?
So pissed about Legends.
Oh,
Legends is the only one we still watch. We quit watching all the other ones a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Batwoman,
yeah,
we finished. We stopped watching Batwoman after season one. We stopped watching Flash after season five or six, I think. They were just all getting either really repetitive or the writing wasn't that good, you know, or, you know, it started getting bad.
I stopped Batwoman after two episodes, so I hear you on that one. But, I mean, and so those two are canceled, and so Arrow is over, right? And Flash,
yeah, Arrow's
is
been
over
for,
like,
a while.
Is the DC television universe, like, dead?
I don't know. I mean, Flash and Superman and Lois are the only one left. And I've never watched Superman and Lois. I had no interest in that from day one. And everything, yeah. Anytime I, like, every once in a while I'll see, like, a headline or something, so I'll read something about it. And everything I read about it, they've, like, retconned all kinds of stuff that have happened. They're, like, the newest Arrowverse show, and they changed a bunch of stuff that happened before. And it's like, why? Like, this is an entire universe on one TV channel, and you changed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, I'm glad I never watched it because I would have hated it. But Legends was fun because they did not take themselves seriously. Like, it was ridiculous, but it was fun ridiculous, you know? Like things that need to make sense. They're a bunch of time travelers and doing goofy things and, you know. And then, like, there was some seasons where each episode was, like, a certain theme. Like, there was one season where every episode was a throwback to some kind of movie genre. Like, they had a slasher flick episode that was hilarious and awesome at the same time. And, you know, and then, like, they did an episode where they went up against Rasputin, you know? I mean, there's just been, you know, so many fun things that they've done over the years because they didn't take themselves seriously. It was meant to be a fun show. So for them to end it on a cliffhanger, you know, cancel it with a cliffhanger, it's like, you couldn't show them enough respect to just say, hey, you know, do a 6-episode season to wrap things up or something, you know? So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, the anime with Tom Swift in the schedule, I guess.
Yeah. Well, with the, you know, with these new owners and everything, I guess, you know, there's going to be a lot of shakeup at the CW. And I wouldn't count on anything that's currently being made if it's actually going to continue, depending on when they started doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, this Tom Swift show could end up, the Tom Swift show could end up being like, yeah, we're not going to go forward with that.
Yeah.
Because that was something that I think was in development before, you know.
That happened at Network. I mean, that happened at CNN. It happened at Netflix. Yeah. Like, stuff is on the air and then it's gone. So, anyway, I was just interested. I'd read that these two were gone and, like, the DC television universe is basically, like, almost gone. But
yeah,
you're right, AJ. You're right, AJ, that it was confined to this one channel. It was all on the CW, right? And maybe it was taking up too much real estate on the CW. And it's not like having all these Marvel shows on Disney Plus, where there's almost unlimited. If you have money, there's space. There's not a schedule. There's space on the streamer for it if you can produce it.
Yeah.
You're not limited to several nights of the week.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of shakeup because, especially with, you know, Discovery buying, getting creative control of Warner Brothers and everything. So there's going to be a lot of DC shakeup going forward, but whatever. That's another story.
Yep.
All right. You got anything else for us, Jamie?
I'm sorry?
Or did she leave already? Oh, okay.
I thought
you were gone already.
Stuff on the...
No, I'm here.
Any more?
I'm still here.
You got any more announcements or any more?
Well, I'm going to pitch. I hate to jinx things, but supposedly I'm going to be talking to Martin Freeman on Thursday, which makes me very happy. So, I'll be posting about that. But
big brush with fame there. Woohoo!
Yes, that makes me very happy. You know that I love him and Sherlock and everything. But you guys got to tell me more about. I never finished. I realized that I never watched the end of what's it called? Now I can't even think of the name of it. Help me out here, Wakanda. I can't think of the name of it.
What?
With the one that's Wakanda.
Black Panther?
I can't think of the name of it. Black Panther.
Oh, you never saw Black Panther? You never saw Black Panther?
I never saw the end of it. I never saw the end of it. I need to know about his character in that. You guys
got
it.
Oh, my God. It's on, like, TNT every 5 minutes.
Yes.
It's on Disney Plus.
I need hours in the day, too. I can't watch.
Oh, and so you're interviewing Martin Freeman, who has this big, he has this kind of big hero moment in Wakanda, right? Like, he's a little bit comic relief, and then he's, like, a big, you know, like, yeah. You never saw the end of it?
No, I didn't. I never finished watching it because at the time when I watched it, I was watching it right before I went to see Endgame or something. I forget trying to catch up on him, and then I went to see the movie, so I had to quit watching it, and then I forgot about it and never went back to it. Unfortunately.
Well, maybe you don't need to. What's the interview about? He's got a new show.
No, it's for Breeders. I just would like to know more about his character because he is going to be in Wakanda Forever, according to Internet Movie Database. But anyway,
that's a whole separate conversation.
That's a whole separate conversation. I just was curious.
The role of the colonizer and
made me wonder.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I'm a Sherlock fan, so that's my first and foremost.
I know.
All right, guys. Well,
all right.
I will talk.
All right,
to you
we're gonna
soon.
Do Picard.
A good week.
So next week
and
next
we'll
week
talk
we
about
have
the Wilds next week.
Next week we have the okay. Next week we'll add the Wilds, and maybe if we can all go see this movie this weekend, we'll add it. The multiverse multiverse of Karen's questions.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I have 5 of the 10. I had to think about it, how to count it. 5 of the 10 Wilds interviews are up now. So,
great.
There's probably another one. Probably another one coming tonight. We'll see. All right.
Read at your own risk.
Have a good night.
All right.
Yeah.
Good
well,
night,
no,
Jamie.
These aren't. They're not spoilers. Okay, night-night. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Night, Jamie. Picard.
The penultimate Picard. Like how I did that there? The penultimate episode of Picard.
Yes.
This episode, there's some things that I liked. It moved along. Stuff happened. But there were parts of this episode that I was like, really? Did that really just happen on my screen also? Like, I have some mixed feelings about some of the writing choices, I guess, is how I'll talk about it. I'm not sure I'm thrilled with this storyline of Picard's like memories of his mother, and that we talked about this a couple weeks ago about this idea that Picard has had this repressed trauma his entire life that prevents him from getting close to people that I think you and I both felt that we didn't necessarily see in the character over the years that we're being told now is his main problem, right? And so it's all being laid kind of at his mother's feet. And I continue to maybe not be down with that storyline. I don't feel it's maybe necessary for me to have that new layer of Picard. And I also feel it's not necessary to have that. Like, this is a fun adventure story. This was like the last, like, they go back in time and have an adventure. And now we got to throw in all this, like, Picard's mother fucked him up kind of stuff, right?
You know, I got to say, I didn't think about it until this episode when I realized, oh, my God, next week, you know, this coming episode is the finale. And I was like, you know, I was expecting this fun 2024, you know, season. And the first couple episodes we did, but we haven't really spent much time actually in 2024. It's all been very much on the outskirts of everything, especially these last two episodes. It's been very self-contained at the vineyard. It wasn't quite the season that I expected. But I did like a lot of things about this episode. I kind of like the fact that, you know, I liked that Seven got her implants back because,
I didn't like that.
Oh, see, I did because it's who she is now. You know what I mean? Like her without the implants, it kind of, I don't know, I feel like it kind of, you know, it took away from who she is. You know, it plays, I think she kind of accepted it, getting him back too. It plays to her strength. It's who she is, you know, for good or bad, it's who she is. And having the, you know, what Q did with changing, you know, the timeline and everything, kind of changed who she was. So I kind of like that. I thought it was pretty cool with Eldon, being the security hologram. That was a fun way to bring him back. For, you know, the next last episode. And there was something else I liked. Oh, actually, no, I did have a question, though. So what are these new Borgs that Girardi has created? Are they, like, starter Borgs? Because, like, we killed one with a knife. I don't think we've ever been able to kill a Borg with a knife.
Right? They're like, all we have is a knife and a corkscrew. And Robert's like, and an ice pick?
Ice pick, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like, I mean, is that because, I was like, maybe it's because the Borg Queen is not working with the technology that's available to her in the future, and yet she has, like, the technology literally grows out of her fingertip, which also, like, all that makes no sense to me, because, like, the Borg Queen touched Jurati's face for a brief little minute and was able to put nanoprobes into Jurati enough to halfway take over her mind. And by the end of this episode, the Borg Queen is able to, like, full-on assimilate and Borgify people without having a collective, without having a ship, without having technology, with just a touch of her fingers. And maybe I don't remember the Borg enough to, but I'm pretty sure when I saw Picard being assimilated, he was, like, laying on sort of a, like, he was being, like, drones help to, like, put those implants in you and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it was a little, I agree with you. To me, that was a little bit more like for the, I don't know, it doesn't really track with what I've seen, and it didn't make a ton of sense, but I guess it was just fun for the episode. Also, so I don't like Seven getting her implants back only because I felt like the reason her implants are gone is because she's gone back in time because Q has done something. I always assumed when she came back in the final episode when they go back to the future, that her implants would be back because that's who she is. And so for the Borg Queen to, like, be like, I can save you, but I have to, like, you know, do whatever. And then her, like, why does she need an optic implant? Like, why wouldn't she have an implant in her side or whatever? Like, it just, like, her implants go back to what she had in the future. To me,
well,
I was
no,
just
she's
like,
got...
It
she had one.
Different.
She
yeah,
had different ones.
Different.
Like she had something on her. I didn't like her those like fingertips that she's got now. That I didn't.
No,
like.
No. Those look like those gloves you buy to like use your iPhone in the winter, right?
Yeah.
And she had something in her ear or behind her ear, right? And she had some different ones.
Yeah.
But she and her eye.
Yeah, there
her
was
eye
some different.
I guess is a little different, but I mean, I assume she'd
get
them back. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, see,
I get you're saying that a big part of this was accepting who she is and
right.
Can't run away from your Borg self kind of thing, right?
Well, I think because that's been part of the theme this whole season with, you know, struggling with who she is and everything and you know, her and Raffi both, you know. So I have a theory.
Okay, let's hear it. So, lay it on me.
Jurati talks to the Borg Queen, and she convinces her to stop doing this. And she's like, you know, there's a better way. What if we could do this a different way? What if you didn't have to, you know, assimilate people to make them do what you wanted? What if we could, have a collective, but a collective of individual minds? You know, like she talks her into this. She saves Seven, and they leave. Here's my theory.
I love that. Yeah.
What? No, but hold on. You might like it in a second, maybe. What if the masked Borg that we see in the first episode is Jurati? Because remember that the Borg comes through and they're like, we're not the same type of Borg. We want to, we want to join the Federation. What if?
Oh yeah.
That's Jurati and the Borg Queen. What if that's why they, they have that costume on? Not showing their face so they can
because
get into this big twist.
Yes, I forgot about that. But in the end, that Borg Queen, like, takes over the ship. They're, like, zaps the ship, right? They're, like, dead in the water, like, before Q, like, zaps them back or whatever. Like that's a good theory, AJ, because she is like, we're different. We want to talk to you. I like it. There are some things to be filled in there, like, why is she out there and they never met her before? Like, where has she been all this time? Did she just stay in the Delta Quadrant? I like it. I like it, AJ. And maybe that helped me to like better this whole idea. Like, I was like, seriously, Jurati just talked the Borg Queen in like 2 minutes, talked her into like,
yeah.
I don't have to assimilate anyone. Maybe it could be a kinder, gentler Borg. And she's like, all right, let's do it. Like, to me, that was just, like, really? So the whole problem is that nobody ever tried talking to the Borg? Like, what? I mean, maybe I can accept, like I was a little bit like, are you kidding me right now? But on the other hand, I also was like, okay, they're in the same brain together, and maybe Girardi's been influencing her all along. But this whole Elle Woods, like Girardi has her Elle Woods moment where she's like, endorphins make you feel good. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people don't kill their husbands, right? Like, Girardi, like, she, like, literally says to her, like, endorphins don't have to only come from killing people and smashing windows. They can come from feeling good and having a good conversation. And I was like, oh, my God, it's the Elle Woods of Borg. So, right? It was a little easy. I don't know. Like, I like your theory. It's also I like your theory also because I think where you're going with that, or where I would go with that, is that, you know, like, it's a type of Borg that somehow they never met. Like we can't have the Borg be totally different because it subverts, like, all these movies and episodes of shows we've seen, right? The Borg still have to become the Borg Collective and do all this bad shit that they do. We can't have that not happen. But I like your, like, it allows for some sort of other kind of form that they just never maybe bumped into until right then, or Girardi knew not to go near them because Girardi has, like, knows what's going to happen in the future, and she knows, like, if you go near the Federation, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Like it better than some other stuff, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, couple issues and everything. I did think the scenes with Rios was funny when he was trying to get back and he was reprogramming the teleporter thing. And it looked like, it was so funny when he finally almost had it, it looked like he melted it with something because it looked like he beat the hell out of it. I was like, Jesus, what did he do to that thing?
Yeah.
You know, there was actually a part of me that thought maybe he was actually going to stay with her. That for a split second there, I thought maybe, is it possible that she talks him into staying on Earth in 2024? But I guess not.
I could see that for a minute there also, partly because the way they left it, like, what even was the point of that storyline, right? Because it didn't end up going anywhere, and it did intersect, like he has a past sexual relationship. He slept with Girardi, right? And he and Girardi had, like, last season flirtation, it seems to not. But they didn't ever create a... There was never a love triangle or any tension between them.
No.
It was just like in the end, like, what are the stakes? What's the payoff of that relationship with that woman? Except maybe that she has knowledge that the future is going to be better. It's very irresponsible.
I could see the type of thing where you know, they get back to their time, and I could see something where something happens in the final minute wrap up, where Rios comes across a descendant of hers that is instrumental in something, you know?
Right, or that her little boy grows up to be like a great admiral because he felt like space because he met Rios or something
that's what I'm
right?
saying. Like, if you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it turned, you know, they go back and they find out somebody important is a descendant of hers, and the reason they're important is because, you know, the stories that they got passed on generation to generation, you know, kind of like a counterpoint of Soong, because we know Soong's family history is not a good one. He just has generations of people trying to take over the world.
Yeah. And Soong gets away, and it's kind of frustrating that he gets away. I mean, there are a lot of things about Soong maybe are problematic. Like, Soong, I mean, it's funny to see Soong sort of leading a Borg force. Like, Soong is not a person that I ever would think to be leading a combat force, right? That's not his thing.
He gets manipulated.
And yet he's right. He does, but he's right there leading a bunch of, like, baby Borg around, like, trying to, like, find, you know, he's going through the house. He's very, he's very aggressive with the baby Borg. I mean, granted, we know he's a very ambitious person and will do almost anything to save his legacy, but I was like, oh, now he's a military leader. And he gets away, and it's frustrating that he gets away, except it's not, because if you watch Star Trek, he's got to get away because he's got this legacy, right?
Right.
If you had only ever seen this show, you'd be like, why'd they let that guy get away?
Well, I was frustrated for a different reason, because I do know that, you know, obviously he needs to procreate and you know, for his descendants to cause havoc. But it's frustrating for another reason, because the Borg Queen storyline, which I got to admit, up to this episode, I felt a little better. But most of the season, I was like, oh, my God, this Borg Queen storyline is, like ended already.
Annoying.
Like, it's driving me crazy. It's just, like, it was too much. What I said to Artie tonight, I said, this season has been too Borg-y. And so I'm glad that storyline's over. But then I thought about it, I was like, wait, Soong is the final villain? Because we have one episode left. So Soong's the final villain? Does they have to stop? I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know, his descendants are, you know, somewhat worthy adversaries, but he's not really. I mean, everything he's accomplished has been from the help of Q or the Borg Queen. And Q has no mojo, so even Q isn't a threat.
No, he's not. And that's a huge thing to be resolved, right? Like, I mean, oh my God, that's
so
another
it's
thing
be interesting.
Out there. Like, we have one episode to resolve Q. We have to resolve Q. So backtracking for a second before we go there, I have felt like this entire season our cast has been, like, before they go back in time, Picard's like, listen, you got to be really careful, butterfly effect. You can't do anything. You can't use any technology. You can't talk to yourself. You can't talk to any people. Like, you're going to screw up the future. And then all they do for the next, like, five episodes is, like, use their tricorders, use their phasers. They beam women up to their ships. They, like, do all this stuff, right? They've been extremely irresponsible about technology, and they actually, like, they shot off a bunch of Borg and beamed them into the wall, right? When Seven beamed along the wall, that's pretty cool, but I was like,
that was funny.
I'm like thinking about the Terminator's arm, like, when like, the Terminator gets killed in Terminator, the first Terminator, and then the second in T2, it turns out that Miles, what's his name, has the Terminator's arm, and Skynet is still going to happen, right? And I was like, oh, my God,
right.
You're leaving, like, Borg technology, like, all over France.
Yeah.
Not Borg technology, but future technology. So, like, I was like, okay, that could that be – like, they've already shot season 3, right? Like, I read today that I think they shot – they shoot 1 and 2 together, or they shoot 2 and 3 together?
2 and 3,
they shot
there's a lot of stuff.
They shot 2 and
3
together, right?
Yeah.
But – so all that irresponsibility was out there, but maybe that won't get resolved. But we have to resolve Dr. Soong. He can't just get away, right? Also, his kid, like, ran off, never to be seen again, right? His clone child, whatever her name is, ran off. His, like, 112th, whatever she is, child. We have to resolve. Somehow they've got to get back to the future, and they don't have a ship anymore, so there's that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the first thing I said when the Borg Queen left. I was like, how do they get back to the future now?
Right.
The only thing I can see here is somehow, some way, I feel like this next episode is going to be, they're going to have to cure Q to send them back. Like, they're going to have to,
well,
you know,
that,
Q's going to have.
That was my next thing. Like, they haven't resolved Q's illness at all. And that's a good point. If they cure Q, he can send them back. Q's been a weak point of this season, right? Like, Q sends them back, but we have not had – I'm kind of disappointed we didn't see more John DeLancey in the season, actually. And we didn't really have much of this, like, what's he done? Why has he done it? And it turns out he's dying, and, he seems to be a bit of a MacGuffin, like, what sent them back, what can send them in the future, but he hasn't been – like, what's his story? Do you get his story? Because I don't.
I agree I mean, I love John DeLancey, and so I'm disappointed in that aspect that I haven't seen much of him. As far as Q not being around much, I don't have a problem with that simply because without his powers, he's kind of boring. With his powers, it's too much. So I don't mind that he's kind of been sidelined in that aspect. As far as what's going on with Q, yeah, he's dying. Something's happening to Q that's never happened to a Q before that he didn't even know was a possibility. You know, as far as he knows, Qs can't die, period. And now he is, and I feel like, and it's definitely mentally messed with him, which is why I think he's let his emotions, which Q has let his emotions run wild before, but his emotions and his competitiveness with Picard, he let get the best of him, which is why he's done all this. He's always gotta get the last word in. Now, ultimately, the question comes down to, is this one of those situations where they've always gone back in time type of thing? Because things are going to change, maybe not drastically, but there are going to be changes in the future now because of the things they have touched.
Right.
And clearly, if my theory is right, then clearly this had to happen for Girardi to become the new Borg Queen in this new version. And that reminds me, how the hell are there supposed to be two Renees?
I don't get that at all, right? There are two Renees, one who does and one who doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not understand.
How did that – that came out as part of the memory, right? Like that
– Wait,
although it's
–
what's her name? What's her name says it to him? What's her name says it to him, right? What's her name? The Watcher. Right? Or does it come out in his memory that his mother – it comes out from his memory of his mother.
It was the Borg Queen said it, I think.
Oh, it was the Borg Queen. It's the Borg Queen says it, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, there are two Renees, one who does and one who doesn't. I mean, does that imply alternate universes?
Well, see, that's what I'm kind of wondering, actually, because when that new species of Borg first shows up, they're in some kind of temporal rift.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, the message is get Picard, and then they're able, kind of to pull them out, and, so I'm wondering if that's like the alternate reality, you know what I mean?
Which is really what they've been in all this time. They're not really in the past, they're in an alternate past, maybe.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering.
Which, on the one hand, solves a lot of problems. On the other hand, it's kind of a ripoff of it's sort of like I woke up but it was a dream kind of a season, right? Like, were there ever any real stakes if you were always in an alternate timeline? Like the big point of this is to prevent the future that were the present that we saw where Picard was the Borg Slayer and it was this horrible version of the Federation, right? I mean, none of it can come to pass because it complicates too much, but you're right. Like, how do you have these things happen in the past? Could they really have gone to the past and done all this and there's no ramifications, there's no changes? And yeah, the idea, this whole thing, like, there's two, the Borg Queen says that there's two Renees, one who does go, one who doesn't go. Like, how is that even?
I guess we're going to find out, huh?
Another show where there's one episode, and how are they going to do this in one episode? Although there's another season, like, could this be, like, most of the new Star Treks have all been, like, highly serialized, but done at the end of the season. There really hasn't been, like, much, there kind of was some Klingon baloney that went on for a long time, but.
But the main story, even though the Klingon storyline carried over, it had, the first season had its definitive ending of that story. And then the whole Klingon mess carried over. I mean, that's par for the course. The Klingon story always carries over.
It does. The Klingon, I mean, it's going to be part of the Klingon story.
Klingon story's been carrying over for, yeah, Klingon storyline's been carrying over for 50 years.
Yeah. Now you've got me thinking a lot. Like, is this going to be, if this is an alternate temporal rift and this is an alternate, if this is an alternate timeline, an alternate universe, whatever, like, what does that mean for what we saw? What are the stakes that were ever involved, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like I said, we'll find out when we watch the next episode.
We'll find out, yeah. Next week, last episode.
So, Karen, I am done reading The Expanse.
Oh, my God. And did you feel, sad that it was over? Did you feel, great about it?
There was a part of me, on one hand, it was like, oh, I can't wait to finish reading this to see how it all, ends. But there were some sad moments. I there was a couple times I cried reading the book.
Yeah? Aw.
Yeah. There are some sad moments.
Like when people die and stuff?
There's happy sad and there's sad sad. There's both. Mm-hmm. There's,
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely story though. I'm not gonna go into detail obviously. Funny story, however. So one of the writers of The Expanse, whose name is failing actually, I have open. At the end of the books, I read it on the tablet. It says that one of the authors has a new novel that just came out in March. And I don't have him here, which one he was. But so I was like, it's another sci-fi story. So I was, Googling and I was like, oh, I want to see what this is about. Maybe I might read this next because obviously I really enjoy the writing style of these two guys. So while I'm looking at I Google him and I'm scrolling through. And there's a series that Alyssa told me that she thinks I'd really like. It was a vampire series from 2010 that she had read. And it's something that, I just haven't gotten around to. And I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh my God.
No way.
One of the writers that wrote The Expanse wrote this. Yeah. But the thing is, the reason I never made the connection before, he wrote the vampire books under another pseudonym. So, but as soon as I saw the pseudonym name, I was like, what are the odds, this person who wrote, co-wrote The Expanse, series of novels back in 2010 of, this vampire storyline, So I was like, now I'm definitely going to read the vampire storyline. Yeah. So I got a kick out of that. But yeah, it was good. And, there's definitely a part of me now because I got to say one thing. Reading the first six books, I could picture everything because I saw it happen on the show. A lot of the stuff in the last three books, I could kind of picture it because I've been introduced to the visual world of The Expanse. But at the same time, some of the stuff, it's a different dynamic when you visualize it. So there's a part of me that hopes that one day somewhere they, get together and make the last three books into a show again somewhere. And the best part is they can, because it's 30 years later, we don't even need to get it. 30 years from now, they could bring back The Expanse and do the last three books because all the actors will be 30 years older.
Oh yeah. Cause there's a big time jump and they'll be ready for it. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 years. 30 years.
Well,
Granted, if they had continued the show, they just would have, put a lot of makeup on everybody. But,
I mean, it's my understanding that one of the reasons they decided to end it now is because the show had become so expensive, right?
Hear
that The Expanse was costing $1 million an episode, and it became too expensive for the amount of you know, viewership or whatever. I get that. But
actually,
they didn't.
You want to know something funny? I was reading something recently about the cost of episodes and how much they cost. Because I was reading this article about everything that's happening with Netflix right now, with Netflix saying that they're losing money, they're losing subscribers, they're canceling all these shows. And I was reading in the article, the person that wrote the article was, you know, mentioning how much the cost of, you know, all these different really expensive shows are. And The Expanse wasn't even in the top 10 per episode of some of these shows.
No, but
so I guess it was just too expensive
Amazon,
for Prime.
Yeah, Amazon has a lower tolerance, I guess, which, fair enough, they haven't reported the kind of losses that Netflix has. I mean, I've read some interesting things about Netflix, one of which was that for the last few years, Netflix was a very free-spending kind of an organization. Like, I've read that.
Yeah.
I've read something insane, like episodes of Stranger Things ran up to, like, something insane, like $30 million for one episode of Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, like $20 million, but still.
Wasn't it like $20 million episode for the last season or something?
Yeah.
Right? That's crazy town.
Yeah.
You
know what I say? I think the people from The Expanse, I think they should contact, what's his name there? Elon Musk, and ask for a loan. Or you know what? Screw the loan. Just give us money, because apparently you don't care about throwing money away. You know, you spent $44 billion on Twitter, you know, so we can finish making our show.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
For your show. It's great. But, like, apparently at Netflix, the days are over where they would just, like, greenlight freaking everything and see what stuck and have all these shows. Like, for every great show there is on Netflix, there's, like, two or three of them nobody watches, right? And they need to, like, have a different model. I don't have my own Netflix account, and I am starting to feel like I need to watch everything I can as fast as I can before I get cut off, right? Before they take away my friend's password from me.
You don't have your own? I thought you did.
I don't have my own Netflix account. No, I have Twitter. I have Paramount and I have Hulu, and then I have some passwords from some other people that, you know, some streamers are fine with that, but Netflix wasn't.
Well, you know
now.
What the funny thing is? Netflix encouraged it. Netflix told people to do it.
Yeah,
they told people
they wanted
sharing,
people to watch their shows.
Sharing an account. What was it called? Sharing an account is love. That was a statement from Netflix. I don't understand. I don't understand how or what they're going to do with Netflix and everything, because my outlook is this: like, Junie lives with her boyfriend now. So what? Because she doesn't live in this house anymore. You know, she's my daughter, so she's not going to be allowed to use the account anymore.
They want you to upgrade.
What if I'm at work? My IP address is going to be different at work than it is here. So I'm the one paying for the account in the first place, but I can't watch Netflix on my lunch break now because I'm not at home.
Which is,
like, doesn't that kind of defeat the whole purpose of Netflix? Yeah. So I'm not sure how they're going to do this.
You know how, like, when you log into Chrome and sometimes it says, like, oh, your device, should we remember this device? But they're really saying to remember the site, right? They're not remembering your device. They're remembering your IP. So you're right. They got to find a way to know your device, but not your IP. Or they can, I guess. I guess Google really knows that it's my device, but my device is being – they've got to do that. But you're right. Like, you can't, like, let your – I mean, so she's not your minor child anymore. But, like, what, Artie is going to go watch at his friend's house? He's like – 15, right? He's not going to have his own account. He's on your account.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I guess have we come to the end of this week's show? We're nearing the
end
of our time. We should wrap it up. Yep.
Yep.
Next week, we've got the same shows. Maybe a movie. We're going to watch this movie, maybe. Multiverse of Madness. Actually, I haven't seen Secrets of Dumbledore yet either, and I know Jamie's waiting for me to see it. if only to talk on chat with her about it. Done that either. I was working like crazy I worked every single day in the month of April without a day off. Every Saturday, every Sunday, Easter Sunday, you name it. And now May is my time to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to just go to the movies on Thursday. So I should be able to get it all in by next week. So we'll have some extra things to talk about, I guess. I mean, the good thing is if shows are going to be not on so much, at least we're getting into movie season. Has enough to talk about.
There is that. So.
Right?
All right. Well,
by the way,
by the way,
I have to say, I thought of you and Alyssa yesterday. Southwest Airlines had a sale yesterday. They were the first airline one of the first small airlines in America, like these small regional airlines, to have a nonstop flight to Hawaii or whatever. Anyway, they had some kind of Hawaii sale.
Oh, really?
It was insanely cheap to buy a ticket to Hawaii. But you had to buy it yesterday only, and you had to fly in September, October of this year. And I was like, I can't get my brain around that. It's just too much thinking to book a $400 flight to Hawaii. So, but I thought of you guys because I was like, oh, if only there was a convention in Hawaii this fall,
yeah,
we could go to it, right? But not. Anyway, thought of you guys.
Yeah.
Hawaii. So, all right. All right, so next
week. All right,
week.
So we'll do it again next week.
All right.
Have a good week, Karen.
Have a week. Thanks.
Good night.
Bye. Tell Alyssa happy Mother's Day.
I will.
All right. Thanks. Bye.